All right, everyone, welcome to Reflections on Patriotism, a mini podcast series by the Hauenstein Center for Presidential Studies. My name is Maddie Miller. I'm the media specialist at the Hauenstein Center, and in preparation for our upcoming event on April 18th, which is called the same name as this podcast, Reflections on Patriotism, we decided to do this series. And I'm going to throw it to my colleague, Kaylor, to tell us about this event.
This is Kaylor Sweeney, the Common Ground Initiative Program Manager at the Hauenstein Center. Our event on April 18th that Maddie mentioned is going to feature a panel conversation with Yale Political Science Professor Stephen B. Smith, former USA Today columnist Cal Thomas, and historian and novelist Elizabeth Cobbs, who will join us to discuss many of the same questions that our guests here on the podcast will discuss today. More information about the event will be in the description of this episode. All right, now it is my pleasure to welcome our guests and to offer them an opportunity to introduce themselves. Let me start by welcoming Dan Mike. If you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and what brings you here today.
Maddie asked me to come here, so that's what brought me here. Number one, first and foremost, I'll do anything for her. I'm pretty big into motorcycles and baseball, and I also been serving in pastoral ministry in Grand Rapids for the last 10 years, and just trying to help out best I can. And so I live up on the river in Comstock Park with my wife, Chelsea, and two daughters, Penny and Georgia, and one coming in 3 weeks.
Wow.
One little girl, another little girl coming, so that'll be amazing. Five of us, yeah. So,
well, thank you so much for joining us. Then let me welcome Megan, Director of the Hauenstein Center. Tell us about yourself.
Good morning, although when you hear this, it may be any time of day, so good day, listeners. Yes, my name is Megan Radecki. I serve as the director here at the Hauenstein Center, which is a privilege to do so. I was born and raised in West Michigan and have been living in and out of the community for the last 20-something years. I've had the opportunity to travel quite extensively, which I think lends some interesting views to a conversation around patriotism. I reside currently in Grand Rapids with my husband and my 9-month-old son. And we spend our free time with friends and family and traveling and enjoying community. So looking forward to this conversation and just hearing about the collective experiences around the table and how that shapes our views.
Thank you, Megan. And welcome, Claudia.
Thank you. I'm Claudia Badgema. I'm a Grand Valley State University retiree. I'm a member of the Hauenstein Center Board and very proud and happy to be so. I have 4 children. Thankfully, they're grown. And I am delighted to reflect on patriotism today.
Well, thank you so much. Like Kaylor said, we are so excited to be continuing this conversation and have you three at the table today. We have started all of these episodes out with the same question. So in no particular order, whoever wants to go first, our first question is, do you consider yourself a patriot?
Something I struggle with is defining patriot because I grew up with it being a general term, like, to be a patriot is to be kind of into, you know, your nation and being an active participant in that. But in recent years, it seems like that term is used to be a Trump supporter. I don't know why. Maybe just some friends that I've had, there's patriots and then there's patriot, right? Like, and it just sort of happened. It was like, if you're a patriot, this has a whole set of like a whole expectation added to it. And so, has anybody gone into like a simple definition of what that means just to clarify, or is that,
yeah. I looked one up this morning, actually, and what I found was essentially a love or devotion for country.
Mm. Oh, definitely a patriot then.
I must have done the same Google because I also looked it up yesterday, and that's what I was told by Google. And I do consider myself a patriot. I think I would like to have done this after the April 18th program because I might have another perspective on my own patriotism.
Maybe we'll do a follow-up podcast series after the event.
Yeah, I would also say I would consider myself a patriot, and because I love my country, I also see areas and I'm always seeing areas where we could improve or be better. And, you know, we throw on the language here a little bit towards a more perfect union. I think there is space for that. And I love the country that we are. So, yeah, it's a both and. And I also think we should do a series in the future, because I was just explaining to someone this morning, I was really excited for this conversation, and I know that this will be recorded. Now, it will live in the annals of the Hauenstein Center forever. And it made me think, what if somebody listens to this 20 years from now? And what if we, quite frankly, I was thinking to myself, what if I say something that I don't identify with anymore after 20 years? And these days, I feel like we're not very good about giving grace for people changing their minds over time. But it's a very common practice, and we've recently heard, we heard that John Hancock can't change his mind. Last year we heard from Mary Frances Berry talking about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. changing his mind over time. So as we share today, you know, let us leave space for ourselves so that someday in the future, if we were to come back to this, and depending what the world looks like, maybe we would have different views and ideas.
I think changing your mind is really important, and it's important to allow for that, because people grow and people change, and you learn new things. And to be so entrenched in like a belief or a thought pattern that you've always held or that you were told, it can be really restricting. And I guess maybe we should set each other free, you know, to be able to explore new ideas and have conversations. To be a patriot for me, though, it doesn't necessarily mean celebrating everything. I think that's kind of what I was hearing you say. Like, do I celebrate everything that I see, you know, the red, white, and blue do in the world? You know, of course not, right? But that's why critical thinking is just such an important thing to do in a practice, because it's totally fine to say, because I have devotion to this country, I really want to see certain things change or certain things be emphasized or whatever, you know? And so, yeah.
Sounds like this is going to be a really boring conversation, because I agree completely with both
of you. Oh, boy.
In fact, when Kayla told me what the topic was, my first thought, in terms of just really thinking it through for myself, was what patriotism wasn't. Mm. And I think it's not just a blind acceptance and appreciation for the things that this nation stands for. I think we need to own it. I also think we have a responsibility to do what we can do to make it better, to make it the place that, sort of the ideal place, that, you know, place where we would like to be, where we'd like our children and grandchildren to be.
I love that. I think this conversation, talking about changing our minds and how patriotism has maybe changed, let's start at the beginning for all of you. Growing up in the homes that you were raised in the areas you were raised in, what kinds of things did patriotism mean to you? Did you say the Pledge of Allegiance? Did you celebrate 4th of July? Those kinds of things. And how did that shape your kind of beginning thoughts on patriotism?
So I grew up a mile north of Grand Valley's Allendale campus on 48th Avenue, and my grandparents, so I should say I'm adopted, so I was born in South Korea. I lived there for about 3.5 months, and then I came to the U.S., and I was adopted by a Dutch West Michigan family. I do have an older sister who's adopted from Korea as well, but as I was thinking about patriotism this morning as well, My home country or my birth country is not really a country that I identify strongly with, primarily because I was raised in the United States. And I'm really grateful that my community here embraced me fully as an American citizen. I was naturalized as a young child. But this is the culture that I identify with, and this is the country. But it's interesting when you just think about where you started and where you've come from, and as we think about ourselves as patriots, does it have to be your country of origin, or is it the country where you most identify? I think that's an interesting discussion, too. But for my family, I grew up in a quite conservative family. For us, it was, you know, an American flag in the front yard. It was the Pledge of Allegiance at school. It was standing and covering our hearts during the Star-Spangled Banner and all of those things. I don't think my family was especially overt about it. We didn't have any military members in my family. Both my grandfathers have been farmers, so they were not included in any of the drafts or the war. But certainly a love of country was instilled in our family.
I grew up in a large Catholic family, and I went to a Catholic elementary school, and we did say the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning, every morning. At home, I don't think we talked about it very much, but my father had been in the military. He hadn't seen combat. It was a little post-World War II. But clearly there was a sense of loyalty to country.
I grew up up north in, it's called Houghton Lake. It's a big lake up north. And it's kind of hard to brag about a big lake when the Great Lakes are. It's a very big lake. My dad is a Christian minister, but he also is a chaplain for the Michigan State Police. And my grandfather is was a sergeant for the state police. And so there was for us a great appreciation for, public service and things that contribute to the polis, right? The city that we live in. And in a Christian context, it was a very conservative family. And so the things that kind of, as I look back on it, there was a conflation on a lot of levels between like God's will for this country and policies and things. And it was a little bit difficult for me to untangle from that type of thinking because it was just so prevalent in a lot of ways in rural towns. It still is a very prevalent way of thinking, which, you know, I now kind of have sort of a different thought on myself. But yeah.
Let me follow up. Something that seemed very interesting to me that Megan mentioned was talking about patriotism with a more international sense or an international component. For some, I feel like patriotism is about the community that you were raised in. It's about just who you see every day. Those very, you know, the nearness defining your patriotism. And then others, I hear something that seems unique to different countries in the culture, right? So it's not just about being, you know, born or raised in Grand Rapids, but it's about something unique about the history of the United States or the culture of the United States. How do you all feel on that, on the balance there? Is patriotism for you more about, you know, the community that you grew up in and were raised in, and you could have had that anywhere, wherever you were born and raised, or is that something, is there something uniquely American about the way that you view the concept of patriotism?
I'm kind of confused by that question.
Absolutely. Sorry. Yeah. Is it more so, you know,
local versus national?
Sure. Or? Yeah. How much do you see a national tie, right, in these like big picture cultural things versus how much is it just, you know, it's who you go to work and see. It's who your kids play with. It's, you know, it's just simply the local component.
I came to a conclusion pretty early on that being like tied to the national political voice too much could be a distraction for me. Like saying I'm really into politics, but I only vote is like saying I'm really into food and I only eat once every 4 years. Like I'm a foodie, like I'm big into it. I got all the magazines, but I don't really eat. I don't really cook. I don't really farm. I don't go to various restaurants and participate in that culture. So I would err definitely more on the side of thinking in terms of like local and what I can be involved with and how I can make a meaningful contribution to the thing that I actually can contribute to on a regular basis, personally.
I like your comment about contributing to, and I think that that is so essential. That for me really is part of patriotism, is doing what we can to make this country a great country. And for some of us, that's different than for others. Clearly, there are people who make the ultimate sacrifice for this country. For most of us, I think it probably means voting. And for me, that means becoming informed in voting. What I love about the Hauenstein Center is its focus on common ground. And I so value the opportunity to come here and hear civil conversations from different perspectives, and that really motivates me to be open-minded and to do research on my own and to change my mind. And I too have changed my mind over on many important issues over the many years that I've been around.
For me, I think that patriotism, and whether it's local, it's national, how you choose to identify, has a lot to do from where you come from and how strongly you identify. And I'll back up and say, if you've been to other countries, specifically in the Middle East or North Africa or Europe, their communities and their countries are centuries and centuries and centuries older than the United States. And so when they think about their heritage, if you are Greek, I lived in Athens for a year and a half. And if you are Greek, you are so proud to be Greek because your culture, your community was
changed
basically the birthplace of civilization, mm-hmm. right? And so no matter where you might find a Greek person in the world, they are going to be very loyal to their home country. They're going to have a great sense of patriotism to their country, right? Now, perhaps if you were to find someone who did not have a good experience growing up in Greece or living in Greece, then maybe they would feel a little less so. But I think that would be the same would be true about the United States. Our country is not as old, clearly, but if you find someone who's had a great experience living and growing up in the United States, there's a much greater chance that they would be a patriot as opposed to someone who's grown up here and has not had a great upbringing, a great experience with our laws, our rules, our regulations. So I think a lot of it just comes down to individual experience and what people have gone through, what they've enjoyed about our country, what they've been challenged by, et cetera, et cetera.
And what they feel threatened by.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Claudia, you brought up something earlier. You mentioned, like, what is not patriotism? What is not patriotic? I'm curious if anyone has any thoughts on that. Like, what are some things that you would consider not patriotic and not part of patriotism in that sense?
Certainly insurrection.
Yeah, I think if you think about just America's democracy as being like a major contribution to like the global history. And with that comes, right, like a whole set of ways to think and ways to be. And so when we're talking about freedom and freedom of religion, and I think that's very broad, and you can come at that from different angles as any individual from wherever you come from in this country. But I think once you start to pick that stuff apart, or to lean farther and farther away from civil rights, and I think that that's where you start to be leaning away from what this country is supposed to be kind of cultivating, and a context for that. It's fine to have different like opinions to the approach on that, which is why we have different parties. But like that would definitely to me constitute as counterproductive if you were hindering freedoms and actively trying to create some sort of ethnocentric thing, which I think Christians, being as like a Christian voice here in this conversation, have done sometimes to the disservice of, like, when you talk about Christian nationalism or talk about civil religion and imposing things on people, can start to feel that way. Like this isn't the space that we were all kind of supposed to be in. And so that's always something to think about. Don't want to talk too much.
I would agree with both things that were shared. And I sometimes get confused these days when I see the way that different groups of people in the United States align politically. Because quite often to me, it feels like it doesn't match up with maybe the morals or the principles or the other things that they espouse. But for some political reasons, they feel justified in their actions. I would say the same is true with insurrection, right? At some point, someone believes that the correct course of action is insurrection, but they might also espouse to be a patriot, mm-hmm. And that's the cause of why they're doing it. But to me, something like that just doesn't jive. It doesn't match up.
Some kind of a disconnect.
Yeah.
Let me ask this. And I think you've all alluded to it, but I think it's worth diving a little bit deeper. It sounds like you all agree that patriotism leaves room for seeing faults in your country. But to what extent to be a patriot requires not only understanding the faults, learning about the faults, but to actually seek out, to try to be involved at some level. Is that a requirement in your conceptualization of patriotism, that people are not only learning about the misdeeds of the past or ongoing things, but that you're getting involved? Is action an integral part of a patriotic lifestyle, in your opinion?
I think it depends on the individual and the talents. And the talents that are brought to the process. And as I said earlier, that, you know, some individuals are so patriotic, they give their lives for this country. Most of us hopefully vote, at least, to demonstrate our patriotism. But I do think that we need to own the faults of our country, and that is part of being patriotic, is owning it and doing what we can to make it better. I've always felt that whatever community, whether it's my family or my city or my school or my nation, it's my responsibility to do my part to make things better. I guess that's maybe arrogant, but I think everybody does it at their own level. I'm not going to go into the military. I hope my kids don't have to go into the military. But I am willing to become informed and vote, and I'm willing to run for office. I've done that. I think we all do what we can do, but I do think we have an obligation to use our talents to make our country better and our communities better.
Yeah, I think I grew up with, there are certain ways, like in theological traditions, that encourage people to detach. And especially in Christianity, when you start thinking about the way people talk about how things are going to end or whatever, I've seen it. People just start to say, well, whatever, I don't have to, you know, make this better. It's all going to go this way or that way. And that I don't think is that helpful. It hasn't seemed to prove to be that helpful. And for me, I've gotten out of sort of thinking that way and into thinking that more ethically. I think as a Christian man, there is a self-donation aspect to my worldview. And so the country that I find myself in here now, I want to really like try and enter into that and be a positive, be as positive as I can for the people that are around me. Like there's a obligation for a Christ follower to love the way that Christ loved, right? As far as knowing the past and to your point on that, I don't know why I maybe should do some self-reflection on this, but I don't feel in any way threatened by knowing the truth. And, you know, I love historians. My mom is a teacher, and, you know, I think she was like a general grade school teacher, but I think history was her favorite subject because all of our family vacations were to, you know, Virginia and Washington, D.C. And we were always camping at like battlefields and doing like walkarounds and like thinking through this stuff. And I don't know, whenever I find out something like alarming or confusing or a different angle to look at certain aspects of the beginnings of this country or whatever, I just take it and I'm like, man, let's try and think through this. And if that does lead to some sort of feeling like I want to be more sensitive to this, or I'd like to acknowledge that, I've never felt threatened to be like, I can't do that. I don't know what I would lose to be able to win somebody over through solidarity or through trying to, you know, see things through their perspective or whatever. Like you were saying before, somebody could have grown up and had a horrible experience here, and that's where they're at. And from my perspective, I just want to figure out a way to meet people where they're at. And as soon as we can do that, I feel like then we can start to move forwards together and pace with each other a little bit easier. And a lot of people who just are talking past each other in our culture, that there's no way to pace and actually find some common ground to be able to stand on or explore together.
Kaylor, I think you've teed us up perfectly for a mention of our theme this year of empowered citizenship, which I think speaks exactly to your question and this idea. I often tell people, we talk about as a team very often at the Hauenstein Center, that citizenship, that being a part of this country, that even being a part of our office culture does not depend on me having a name for it or me having a theme or me telling people how to do it, but it very much depends on each one of us waking up and deciding how we're going to be in the world. And I think that it is true for patriotism. I think to Claudia and to Dan Mike's points, it's very much about how we show up in the world and about what we're willing to put into it that makes the world around us. I was just with some family this weekend and had a family member say, at this point in time, I fully realize that my vote doesn't matter and that it doesn't really matter how I show up. And I said, that is not true. And it is really important if you want to dial back and if that whole national conversation or politics just feels like too much, really, I think the most important thing we can do is show up and be a good neighbor and be a good family member and care about those around us and take care of the people living down our street, going to our places of work or our churches or whatnot. But we've been, again, using the phrase around here a little bit, it's a republic if you can keep it. Our nation is dependent upon the individual actions of, what, 335 million people? And that's what makes us great. And that's ultimately our own actions, what makes us decide whether or not we want to be patriotic. I remember when I was living in Athens in 2003 and 2004, it's right when we entered Iraq under the assumption that there were weapons of mass destruction there. And I would meet people on the street. It was in the lead up to the Olympics. So there was a big international scene there, but a lot of people, they would meet me, they'd find out I was from the United States, and they would look at me and they'd say, what do you think about Bush? Why did you go to Iraq? And I am one person living in Athens at the time. And clearly it was not my decision, but that's what they wanted to know from me. Mm-hmm. And that was someone else's decision. It was our government's decision. Does that reflect on us as individuals? It does. But generally I could talk to them, redirect them, and help them to understand that I'm human and we have a conversation as humans and it would be fine. But that is how they would lead out, which was such an interesting thing. And I'll tell you, during that Olympics in 2004, there were a lot of American spectators who came and either put Canadian patches on their backpacks or tried to fly under the radar. Whoa. Because there was some antagonism towards Americans at that time. And I know that's happened. I've known other travelers who sort of masquerade as Canadians, thank you, neighbors of the North, as Canadians when they're out in the world because they feel like that's a more neutral position to be known as in the world, which is interesting, right?
So what you're saying, Megan, is that the assumption around the world community is that we endorse whatever our government, as individuals, we endorse whatever our government decides to do. And what we have, the three of us have been saying is, no, it's our responsibility to question and challenge and do our best to make things better and to change things when we see need to change things.
Yeah.
But people do feel impotent. Yep. You talked about your family member who doesn't feel that voting is important. I think people do feel impotent, and it's so unfortunate because if we all felt impotent, nobody would vote.
If politics is relegated to like a national level, you can get lost in that 335 million people. And like, but politics is about the society that we live in. Like there's many levels and layers to this, you know? And I really think it's a little bit backwards to start at the highest level and then work your way down and think that you're, as a citizen, that's how it's going to work for you. I think it's much more, in my opinion, healthy to start at the lower level, as low as you possibly can. Like you said, your own sibling. We have a culture that we are working on together in your own neighbor, in your own street, and then various needs in your own town, township, or city. And as you start to see your space, your little place there, that can lead to running for office or bigger things, or that can lead to just you being a meaningful contributor to that spot or whatever. But I think that you would probably find yourself in a much more level-headed, maybe even more credible space to be able to see how complicated it is for groups of people to work and interact with one another, and also to feel less guilty if you were ever in a situation where you're like, yeah, the country on a national level might be doing some messed up stuff, and I actually also haven't really done anything. It's just, it's a lot easier. It might be to be like, well, you know, there are food pantries, and there are things that are always looking for help. It's not that hard to help. We can all just lend a hand and pass stuff out, or go to meet somebody, you know, who just needs someone to talk to, or whatever, give someone a ride. And just try and help one person at a time and then go from there.
So far we've heard from three great patriots, but now I want to ask a little bit about how do we instill a sense of patriotism in future generations? At this current moment, polls show that Americans are by and large considering themselves patriotic and patriots, but that is decreasing. I think it's an exaggeration, but I think it's a useful thought exercise when people question, you know, what's the difference between instilling patriotism versus indoctrinating someone with patriotism? How do you encourage people to come to a decision about patriotism for themselves that reflects their own values and experiences? So let me throw out, you know, a few institutions that we could talk about here from your own experiences. Could be like the media. It could be higher education or K-12 public schools. It could be faith institutions. It could be the political parties. All these institutions have a role to play, or could have a role to play, in how Americans think about patriotism. So for those that you have your own connection to, or that you think about, where should these institutions be? Where do these institutions have a role to play in creating spaces where people can talk about patriotism and learn more about that topic?
Education, for sure. And the earlier, the better. Just in terms of children, young people learning about how our government works and the history of our country, I think that instills in someone a desire to know more. And it, the more you know about something, the more you feel a part of it. Mm-hmm. And therefore, hopefully, the more you feel that you can impact it.
Yeah, and I'll add on to that, making space to have programs like this, to give space for people to have conversations, to invite them in, to put people on a stage who can talk about differing sides of the issue. I think also in education, teaching other people about the rest of the world. It's very hard to think about patriotism if you don't have something, I think, to compare it to. Mm. You can always love your country, but you may love it more if you understand what the rest of the world is like. Mm. And I often want to, on occasion, I meet individuals who I think could be well-informed by visiting other parts of the world to understand what it is that we have here and how special and how fortunate we are. You know, that is one thing I will always say. We are so fortunate to live in the United States. It is not perfect. But again, having been to other countries, I actually was able to go to Afghanistan the summer of 2011. Life is very different there, especially as a woman. And none of us here will ever really know what that is like. I mean, if we're fortunate, none of us will experience that or know what that's like. And that's a very unique thing. And so the more that we can broaden people's horizons and help them understand what are the other options out there, what does the rest of the world look like, I think that also helps to reinstill a love, and maybe not a blind following, right, but a love for the country we live in and a desire to continue to make it better.
Yeah, this is taught, but it's also caught, and I think it really is going to matter how you live your life in front of other people. You know, what are the odds that your kids will exercise if they never see you exercise? I mean, maybe. It's not impossible, but if that value isn't there, my grandpa passed away in January, and he's a very polarizing figure in our family. And there was a debate. I mean, there's several. He has two son-in-laws who are ministers, and you know, it's like, who's going to facilitate the funeral? And I was actually chosen. And part of the reason for that was there was discord in the family related to him. And years ago, I decided I'm going to pursue him. I'm going to really try and make an effort and figure this out and let bygones or whatever, you know, just try and make this happen. And everybody knew over time I had developed a really great bond and relationship with him, even though there's tons of stuff that could have festered and could have created sort of a division between he and I or whatever. And but when the time came, that was the right decision. That was something that I think was evident, you know, as you look at us as a family, that Dan, this would be a really meaningful thing for you to do. And I think just sort of that's just what came to mind for me is like, if people will know, I mean, people will know that you have, especially your family, as you were asking about the next generation, your family will see the values that you have. And if you can kind of help connect the dots and help show, you know, like you guys were saying, like, different ways that the world tries to do its thing, that they will see and take the good from what you're doing and maybe even make it even better than the way that you were doing it too.
Hopefully. Yeah. And we can't take it for granted.
Yeah.
I think that we tend to take our freedoms for granted. And with the discordance lately, we've come to realize, maybe appreciate more, the freedom we have, and that we can't just take it for granted, that we really need to work for it.
Yeah.
We need to listen to others, and we need to open our minds. And if we don't talk to one another, we're not going to make any progress in terms of coming together and for common causes.
And, you know, I think about patriotism to what end? And to the extent that, you know, you mentioned the media a little bit, or political parties, or whoever else, I do think the idea of patriotism has been weaponized in the last few years on all spheres and all sides, but used to make us question, you know, is it just a pure love of country? Or is this something we can use to achieve an end? Now, for me, the end is, again, a more perfect union. For others, it might be more votes, more campaign funding, more clicks, more ratings. And to me, that's an insincere use of the word. I think it's a disservice to our nation if we're using the idea of patriotism for anything but just pure love of our country and a desire to be better. But we know that's not the way the world works necessarily these days. So I think as we talk about the different institutions that may help foster a conversation around patriotism, deciding how we're using it and to what end is an important part of that. And helping young people distinguish that, maybe to your very early point, Dan, Mike, that there seems to be like patriotism with a small p and with a capital P these days. And how do we distinguish between that, and how can we use the words in the purest form and not necessarily in, I don't know, the most advantageous in an incorrect way? I don't think I articulated that well, but.
No, that was great. Thanks, Megan. If you guys can believe it, we're actually out of time, but I have one more question for you guys. Megan talked about the Hounsheim Center's theme earlier, which is empowered citizenship. So this is how we kind of wanted to round out this podcast series every episode. So our theme of empowered citizenship is just thinking about how we can empower others to be better citizens of our country, our world, our communities, and make it a better place. So quickly, for each of you, I'd love to hear, what does empowered citizenship mean for each of you?
I feel very empowered it might be misled or whatever, but I just think part of the project of the United States of America is kind of innately validating each citizen in some way. I think part of what I was hearing you say earlier about, or maybe both of you, just respecting other people's voice, respecting other people's opinions, started to like inspire to me a sense of validation towards other citizens of this country. And in the opposite way, for myself, I do feel like I have agency. And so to have, what was the term again? Empowered citizenship. I do feel empowered to be able to, in small ways and in large ways, to help out and to try and probably, I think for me, it would be more like try and defuse a lot of like really antagonistic situations, because conversations, and I just find myself in a lot of polarizing situations where I don't know why. I have friends who are like detaching from their family because some family members are like conservative. And then I have friends who are like having Trump flags like hanging from their homes, right? Or whatever. And it's like, how do both people like me? I don't know. And so we're
you're doing something right.
Well, I think it's possible, right? And yet I want to broker, I do want to bring critical thinking and thoughtful responses and ways to, I feel empowered to be able to do that. I don't feel like I have no voice and no ability to think through certain things with my friends or that people that are around me. And so I'm happy to think in those terms and feel very privileged to be alive at this time.
I've always felt that I could make a difference in the spheres in which I find myself. Not only that I could, but that I have an obligation to do so. So that's, I guess that's what empowered citizenship means to me. It's I feel empowered, but I feel it's my obligation to learn and to study and to keep my mind open. And I think it's my obligation to listen to other viewpoints. Mm-hmm. That's hard sometimes, but and to seek out information, that's not easy either, to seek out factual information, to try to sort out the garbage from the legitimate stuff. But I think it's our obligation as thinking human beings to do that.
Yeah, I agree with what Claudia and Dan Mike both said. I would say that to me, empowered citizenship is showing up as an active, informed, and seeking individual in the world, and not so that I can be right, but just so that hopefully I and the rest of our country can be better.
Wow. Inspiring conversation. Thank you all three of you for joining us for an amazing discussion. I learned a lot, as I do at the end of all these conversations, have so much to just think about, very wise, and thinking about these concepts in new ways. Despite a concept that everyone kind of thinks they know exactly what you're talking about, there's always so much more to dig into. So thank you for that. For those listening, links to our event, Reflections on Patriotism, are linked in the description. I hope you'll join us for the event. And if you are listening after the event, a recording will be available as well in the description. So thank you for listening, and we hope you're able to join us at Reflections on Patriotism. Thank you.